Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 93.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative McNeely. We ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative McNeely.
In the words of Jesus, John 11:35, Jesus wept. Heavenly Father, as I just spoke, yes, your Son wept. He wept for all of us and the sins that we all carry in our hearts. He wept for all the wrongs that we, his people, have allowed to happen. He has left us his word, and we have taken the parts that we like and are easy and threw away the hard and the difficult. Jesus wept because he loves us all. We are all God's children, no matter whether we look alike or not. God sees our heart, not our skin. We should take heed. Lord, I pray for all who protect us and serve us. Bless them and their families. Lord, I pray for wisdom for this body. I also pray for the many that we know sick, Jerry Carter, Larry Potts, Carla Cunningham, Sarah Stevens, Mike Clampett, and many others who are sick and suffering and need healing. Please bless and protect us and our families while we are away from home. And all God's children said, Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 13th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Hall moves the journal for July 13th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The enroller clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. House Bill 67, an act to make technical corrections to the general statutes and session laws as recommended by the General Statutes Commission. House Bill 297, an act directing the Division of Motor Vehicles to offer remote conversion of full provision license of persons employed out of state as members of the armed forces of the United States, providing an additional defense and driving with expired license and waiver the late fee for renewing expired registration for persons employed as members of the armed forces of the United States. And the following bill duly ratified for proper and properly enrolled and prepared for presentation to the Secretary of State. House Bill 375, an act removing the cap on satellite annexation for the towns of Franklinville, Liberty, and Ramseur, and removing the certain described property from the corporate limits of the city of Roxborough.
Chapter of bills will be noted. Members, we are momentarily going to take a recess to allow the Rules Committee to meet, but the Chair would ask the body's indulgence on a few matters. First off, we're honored to have with us today a former member of this body, Representative Chuck McGrady, who also is now our appointee to the DOT board, back with us here on the board. He knew we were starting the budget and was missing us a lot and wanted to go hang out with the appropriations chairs. Representative McGrady, thanks for being with us. Please join me in welcoming with us today. Representative Bells, recognized, sent forth the conference report. Clerk will read.
To the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 126, a bill entitled the Act to Abolish Obsolete Boards and Commissions that are no longer functioning to make other changes to boards and commissions. House Committee Substitute Favorable 6-16-21. House Committee Substitute Number 2 Favorable 6-23-21. Fourth Edition in Gross 6-24-21. Submit the following report. The conferees recommended that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date, conferees approved report July 14, 2021. Conference for the Senate, Senator Perry, Chair, Senator Sawyer and Lee. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Bell, Chair, Representatives Hall and Hurley.
Bill be counted for today. Members, we also have an honorary page with us today. We have Connor Chinichi, who from Alamance County, who's here shadowing Representative Riddell. Where's Connor? We want to welcome you here with us today, back here in the back. Thanks for being with us today. Members, we are about to go into recess until 5:30. The Rules Committee is going to be taking up a bill during that period of time. The chair will be adding other bills to the calendar during that period. Basically, the bills that are reported out of committee will be added in. So we'll have those bills will be uploaded to the calendar. So the chair intends to do that during the recess. Prior to going into the recess, subject to our standard stipulations, are there any notices or announcements? For what purpose, the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
To give notice of discharge petition.
Gentlemen may proceed.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to House Rule 39, I'm giving notice that I will file a motion and the requisite petition to discharge House Bill 254, Constitutional Amendment Concealed Carry, from the Committee on Judiciary 2 with the Principal Clerk today. In accordance with the rules, I've obtained a fiscal note to be included with the petition, with my objections to the note reduced to writing. Thank you.
Noted. Any further notices or announcements? For what purpose, gentleman from Beaufort, President Kidwell, rise.
Announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Freedom Caucus will caucus directly after session in conference room 2226.
Anything further? Seeing none, the chair is going to declare the House stands in recess subject to the standard stipulations, Rule 15.1, as well as modifications and additions to the calendar, to reconvene at 5:30 p.m. So ordered. Representative Richardson Stevens recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Richardson Stevens, Judiciary 2 Committee Report. Senate Bill 301, expand expunction eligibility. Favor House Committee Substitute. Unfavorable, Senate Committee Substitute, and re-refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar of the House. Committee Substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 300, Criminal Justice Reform. Favorable House Committee Substitute. Unfavorable, Senate Committee Substitute Number 2. And re-refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute Number 2, placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute. Refer to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Thank you.
Special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, July 14th, 2021. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 126, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to abolish obsolete boards and commissions that are no longer functional and to make other changes to boards and commissions. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted.
House will come to order. Representative Hall recognized to send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report, House Bill 71, Living Donor Protection Act, favorable.
Calendar for this evening.
House Bill 951, Modernized Energy Generation, favorable.
Calendar for this evening. Members, we're going to start taking up our calendar. Chair is pleased to announce it appears we have a series of non-controversial bills this evening on the calendar. So Senate Bill 122, the clerk will read.
Senator Heiss, Senate Bill 122, a bill to be entitled an act to remove certain described property from the corporate limits of the town of Spruce Pine and from the town of Weaverville. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Buckham, Representative Fisher, is recognized to debate the bill on its third reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a really good vote on this yesterday, and I'm hoping for the same today. Thank you so much.
Further discussion or debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 122 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Blackwell, aye. Representative Majeed on the floor. Representative Brockman on the floor. Please report Representative Bumgarner, excused absence. Representative Sasser on the floor. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 105, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. Senate Bill 122 passes its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 126, clerk will read.
Conference report, Senate Bill 126, clean up obsolete boards. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Jump from Wayne, Representative Bell, recognized for motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we agree to the adopt the conference report.
Gentlemen's move that the House to adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 126. Further discussion or debate? For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for a question to Bill's sponsor.
Representative Bell, gentlemen, yield.
I'll try. Yes, ma'am.
Yields.
Could you indicate to us what was changed?
There was a couple instances dealing with the Global Trans Park and one dealing with another entity there in JPS. They were removed. So all the conflicts were actually removed from the bill.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House, the adoption of the conference report. Senate Bill 126. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote.
Conference report on something.
Hall, aye. Destin Hall, aye. Representative Blackwell wished to record. Representative Sasser wished to record. Representative Belk wished to record. And Representative Majeed, Representative Brockman. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 84 having voted in the affirmative, 22 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 126, and the Senate will be so notified. For what purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise. Good to see you. House Bill 71, clerk will read.
Representative Shepard, Hurley, Morey, and Potts, House Bill 71, a bill to be entitled Living Donor Protection Act, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
John from Onslow, Representative Shepard, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Living Donor Protection Act, House Bill 71, has passed overwhelmingly in the committees, and I think it's a good bill, and I'm going to say a whole lot more about it. I'd like to thank Representative Hurley, Representative Morey, and also Representative Potts for their support on this bill, and I appreciate your green vote this evening. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 71 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Brendan Jones, aye. Representative Sasser, back on the floor, or back off the floor. Clerk, lock machine, record the vote. 105, having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 71 passed the second reading without objection. We'll be read a third time.
General Assembly, North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 71 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 71, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 951, Carter Reed.
Representatives Arp, Zoka, Destenhall, and Bell. House Bill 951, a bill to be entitled Modernized Energy Generation, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Zoka, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 48-page bill, 17-page summary. I think that this bill has had a thorough vetting based on the number of phone calls I've had from both sides of the aisle, so I'm not going to attempt to summarize the bill again because I think everybody knows what the bill's about. And the I will highlight the last changes that were made in the committee meeting this week, and that was the securitization increase to $500 million, which is roughly just shy of 50% of the net value of the remaining assets at the time that those coal plants are decommissioned. The CPRE, the Competitive Procurement of Renewable Energy, there are a couple minor changes to that. And let me remind you that Representative Arp and myself sponsored a bill, House Bill 589, 2017, which from the passage of that bill till now has saved over $350 million for ratepayers. So continuing that with a little tune-up is a good thing. Standby charges was eliminated for large retail customers so that big box stores, malls, places like that wouldn't be paying twice essentially for the same service. And there was some concern about public hearings on the coal retirement and replacement plans. The original PCS said it required one. Now he said at least one or more. I liken this bill where it is now in the process to like a football game. I don't know any football coach who plays to win the second quarter and then doesn't care about the fourth quarter and the final score in the game. And right now I think we're at the point where we're at the two-minute warning to halftime. So we know how the process works. Everybody in here knows how it works. A bill passes from one chamber, it goes to the other chamber, they make changes, it comes back, then it's either concurred with or non-concurred with, and then we go into discussions on getting something that all parties involved, and usually all parties is the House, the Senate, and the Governor's Office can agree to. So I'm well aware that not everybody is happy with the bill in its current state. I would just say that we're just 2 minutes before halftime. We've got more work that has to be done in the House and in the Senate, and I just ask for your green vote.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise?
For an amendment, sir, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman's recognized. Send forth amendment. Corporal Reed.
Representative Brody moves to amend the bill on page 48, lines 15 and 16, and inserting between those lines.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. This is kind of an addition to the bill, but it going to address two different issues. Number one is I don't feel it's in my purview to tell a farmer, et cetera, who to sell your property to and what they use it. I'm a property rights guy. The only thing I want is that if somebody's going to do it, that I want to know about it and that they're going to put a solar facility there. So my option is I can go through the process of going through a meeting and have my say, and they can in turn vote whether they want to accept that or allow that solar installation to happen or not. So basically what I'm requesting local government is they have to go through their regular process of zoning, and they put their zoning sign on, but they have to put a placard on it that says solar installation on that. They also have to, and they usually do, put in their advertising when the meeting is going to be. They have to have a public meeting so people can be heard, and then they also have to publish the time and date when the council votes on that. That's the first part of the bill. The second part of the bill is something that, if you look on this bill in particular, I think it's page 8, the amount of solar that this bill is going to propose to allow build is 7,327 megawatts. Now, if you do a little bit of research on how much acreage is required to generate a megawatt of electricity, You can do a search, and you'll come to pretty much a general consensus of it's anywhere between 4 on the ideal to about 6 on the average, so about 6 acres per megawatt, which means that we are going to be dedicating another 45,000 acres in North Carolina to this project. In addition to that very same page, it goes a little bit deeper and says that, but if the commission wants to add more, they can. So basically, we've just put an unlimited supply of solar in this bill. So what I wanted to do was say, okay, if you're going to do that, if a seller or I'm an owner or a lessee of a solar facility decides to do it, they have to provide a bond or another irrevocable financial instrument in favor of the county that's going to, this installation is going to be on, so that if this ever gets abandoned or foreclosed and abandoned, that there's enough money there to be able to clean it up when they're done. So, for example, the bill does mention foreclosures in there, and they're concerned about foreclosures. So if that happens, and I deal in real estate, I believe 100% in Murphy's Law. If it can happen, it will. That there'll be at least enough money there to clean up the solar panels, clean up the structure that holds them, and bring it to as close as possible to its original state. So that's the two parts of the amendment. Number one, notification, transparency, et cetera, in advertising for this. And the second is, if we're going to do this, let's provide a way to clean it up if it, in the end, they decided to abandon it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For our purposes, gentlemen from Cumberland, Representative Soga, rise.
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Brody and I had talked about this earlier on the two sections of his amendment. The gentleman is well-intentioned. I don't think that the amendment is appropriate to the bill. However, excess signage saying it's a solar development, we could add one. If you're going to put a mall up here, let's make sure everybody knows it's a mall. If it's going to be a new hog house, let's make sure you're going to put a hog. I don't know where the logical extension ends up. So the gentleman's well-intentioned and the amendment is offered in good faith, but I just ask for you to vote it down. Thank you.
Proper gentleman from Union. Representative Brody, rise.
Just speak a second time.
The gentleman has four.
Just briefly, and you probably all know this, but solar panels are toxic. So, for example, if you have a property like where I live, that I have farm fields right behind me, if they come along and do a solar installation, there's nothing I can do if they vote it. But 20 years down, if it's abandoned, what happens to it? Sometimes they break, they leach into the water supply, et cetera. And I've got a well. Guess what? I've got a well, and I may be gone. Long gone, don't need it, but my family is going to be staying there. So the importance of as soon as they can learn how to make solar panels that aren't toxic if they break, then I think this is important to be able to prepare for cleaning up. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House, the adoption of Amendment A1 set forward by Representative Brody. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Noes have it. Amendment fails. Back on the bill, there's another amendment before the body. Chairs would understand there's other amendments being drafted. We'll ask members who wish to debate the bill to go ahead and activate their lights. Let's do that, and then we'll come back and take up the Strickland Amendment, and I believe there's another amendment being drafted. So are there any other members who wish to debate the bill on this, with that side? Gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I want to say you saw this paper on your desk. It's got my name on it. I want to explain something here. I don't agree with most of what's on this paper, but a gentleman who was opposed to the bill came to me, said he wanted to get his thoughts to you, and would I allow him to do it with my name on it? He said Representative Carney was probably going to do hers too. I guess she saw I was going to do it and decided she didn't want her name on something with mine, which is okay. But even though I disagree with most of what he has to say here, I just wanted to be fair. Novel idea, right? Okay. Now let me say this. I like some of the things that's in this bill. I'm not totally against everything that's in it. But you lost me at the word solar. I don't see solar as an acceptable alternative. As Representative Brody was saying, there's a lot of contamination of the ground that occurs. In Cabarrus County a while back, they cut down 600 acres of woods and put solar panels up. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little more of an environmentalist than Representative Harrison, but I don't see how that helps the environment at all, cutting down all those trees and replacing it with something that's going to contaminate the land. I've been told that if deer eat any, you know, the vegetation around these things, the meat might not be fit for human consumption. I'm totally upset by. I went to Newbern, my hometown, the other day, and passing through Kinston and down the Newbern area, farmland that I remember growing up seeing nice, wonderful crops out there for years and years and years, and they got these cotton-picking solar panels on them now. Made me sick to my stomach. Now, I'm not going to tell a landowner that they can't do that. I don't think we should tell them they can't do that. But I'm not going to vote for anything that supports it and encourages it. If they want to do it, it's their land. You know, I just don't appreciate it. But I'm not going to vote for anything that encourages expanding on that or encourages them to do it at all. So with some of the other things in here, I'm fine. I know some of y'all don't like nuclear. I believe in nuclear. Natural gas. Hydroelectric, I understand, is probably the most economical option. I'm all for doing those things. I don't believe we should subsidize any of it, but I just can't go with the solar and the contamination that it brings. What are you going to do with the stuff? I mean, yeah, I'm told you can't put it in a landfill. I think it causes more problems than it solves, and I just can't vote for it. Thank you.
Any other members here wishing to debate the bill? For what purpose, lady from Guilford? Representative Harrison, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate the bill.
Lady has forward to debate the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'm happy to join my colleague, Representative Pittman, in environmental and championing. I wanted to, at the risk of repeating myself from the committee, I did want to thank the proponents of this bill because I think they worked really hard to try and accommodate and listen to some of the changes and concerns we had about this bill. We didn't quite get there, but to their credit, to the speaker's staff and the rules staff and to the chair, Zoka and Arp and others, I really appreciate y'all listening to us. I'm just sorry we couldn't get to a place where we could support this bill. So I wanted to talk about it on process and substance. On the process, we heard that this bill built upon the 18-month NERC process that grew out of the governor's executive order to try and pursue a clean energy strategy because we've got, we face a zero carbon future. We absolutely, even Duke Energy has claimed that they are going to shoot for zero carbon emissions by 2050. So does the governor's executive order. So this isn't really an option for us. This is something we actually have to pursue. So I appreciate the fact that this builds on that, but it actually leaves out a lot of the really important recommendations out of the NERC process. And the stakeholder process that developed this bill actually didn't include a lot of the folks at the table who would have provided the kind of input provisions that needed to be added to this bill to make it a comprehensive, good bill that we could all support. Because fundamentally, that's what I want to do. I want to vote for a good energy bill. I really do. The Senate Bill 3 process that we had in 2007, while not perfect, had a nearly unanimous support. And it produced a very prolific solar industry in our state. We're number two or three in installed capacity, and that's been a lot for North Carolina's economy. It's been investments in every single county, particularly rural counties in our state. So that was an important process. But this process left out several important elements of the stakeholder process. And another piece that was not there, while there were the large consumers, there were not the low-income ratepayers, the folks who will be particularly hit hard by the increases in the rates that are going to come with this bill. So I just wanted to make that point at the outset, that I think that if had we all been at the table, those of us who had strong feelings about this, we might have produced a bill that we could all support and walk away from and feel really good about what came out of it. So that said, if I could just speak for a few minutes about the substance of the bill that I think is problematic for us. Number one is that we are mandating the Marshall Steam Plant going from coal to natural gas. So we are looking at replacing one stranded asset with another stranded asset when we are looking at a fossil fuel-free energy economy in a pretty short order. So does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to achieve our energy, our carbon reduction goals. The governor's proposes 70%. I think this bill proposes 61 to 63%, but I'm not sure who made that calculation. So you've got the Marshall plant that's going to mandate 900 megawatts of natural gas converting from coal. Roxborough, the criteria in the bill seem to outline a procedure that's going to go from coal to potential natural gas and possibly fueled by Mountain Valley Pipeline. But that's not stated in the bill, but it seems to imply that. So that's problematic. And so the conversion from coal to gas in the Marshall Plan is a mandate on the Utilities Commission. It takes away their discretion in terms of deciding what makes the most sense. The Roxborough leaves a little bit more of discretion, but it's still more of a mandate. And on that point, undermining the authority of the Utilities Commission to make the ultimately what's the best decision on energy policy is a really bad idea. They are the experts. They've got a staff over there. They've got the public staff, and they've got the Utilities Commission staff that knows what they're doing. We are not energy experts, and it seems that it would make most sense to let the Utilities Commission have the discretion to decide what makes the most sense in terms of achieving this zero carbon future. There is the issue about the multi-year rate making. You all remember the Senate Bill 559 and the problems associated with that bill. A big part of that piece was the guardrails that we'd need. When you go into multi-year rate making, you need to have guardrails to make sure that the ratepayers don't get gouged. Well, there are some guardrails in here, but there are a lot that are missing. So we've got that potential for a massive rate increase on our ratepayers. And in addition, there aren't any energy efficiency programs or other considerations on that particular piece, particularly dealing with the low income and moderate incomes. And those who have constituents who pay more than 30% of their income to energy bills, this is going to be a hard hit for them. So moving on to securitization. Yes, it's been improved from $200 to $500 million, but we're looking at stranded assets that are either $1.9 billion or $5 billion in stranded assets. So, yes, $500 million is better than $200 million, but we've still got a lot of money out there that's going to be it's going to be ratepayers picking up that cost. As I understand it, securitization lowers the rates for ratepayers, and that would be a place where we would leave the discretion with the Utilities Commission to decide what makes sense. And there are other states that have a way to do this and a good model. I spoke about this in the Energy Committee. They set aside the $50 million for the nuclear, high-tech, modular nuclear. That is an unproven technology. I understand that it's drawing down some federal matching, but it does seem to me to make more sense that if we left the discretion there for the Utilities Commission to decide what makes the most sense and let them set up an innovation fund and decide what the technology should be. We don't have any idea. We don't have a crystal ball to know. If you think about how power looks now versus 20 years ago, we're in a different, you know, we're looking at a different scenario. We're looking at different technologies. And I think it's a real problem when we decide that it should be a nuclear study. I think that the pieces about the solar leasing cap, yes, it's been expanded from 1% to 10%, but we will be the only state in the country with a limit on solar rooftop. And also we're going to have caps on the solar also, that the Utilities Commission should have the discretion to decide whether it makes sense. I think that the ratepayer piece is a big piece that I've mentioned. We're looking at the potential. I understand it's been disputed or argued, but we're looking at the potential for a 4% rate increase every year. So over 10 years, there's some thought that it'd be close to 50%. And that does not include the $13 billion that we are looking at for grid modernization. So we are looking at a massive rate increase for our ratepayers. And for low-income ratepayers, that's going to hit pretty hard. For the large consumers, that's going to hit pretty hard. And that might be a big reason why almost every single stakeholder who was at the table that this bill came out of is opposed to the bill. That point cannot be understated or overstated, sorry. We have 80% or 90% of the people who are at the table trying to develop this bill who are opposed to it now, and a big chunk of those are opposed to it because of the ratepayer piece. I wish that I could speak in favor of this bill. I wish that I could vote for this bill. We need a good comprehensive energy plan. We need to improve upon the great work of Representative Arpanzoca on House Bill 589. We've hit our cap. There's a lot that we could do if we could work together, and I wish that we had had that opportunity to work together. And I know the governor has tried to work together to try and make this a better bill. And so I am going to urge folks to vote no. And, Mr. Speaker, in case I don't push the button in time, I do want to make mine that I would like to object a third, please. Thank you.
Speak up quick after second reading. Representative Arp is recognized to send forth an amendment. The court will read.
Representative Arp moves to amend the bill on page 48, lines 15 and 16, by inserting between those lines.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you. Members, this has come up here recently, and this amendment reiterates, you've heard me mentioned before that it's the General Assembly, my friends, as colleagues, and the elected people through the Constitution of the North Carolina, that the power is vested with the people, and that is shown forth through their elected representatives, that we are the policymakers. And what this amendment does is make sure that the clarification about the regional greenhouse gas, regional market-based carbon dioxide emissions, that under this program, the governor does not have current authority to join that without specific authorization by the General Assembly as a policy-making body. It outlines the findings there, 1 through 4, and ultimately it says, until such time as the General Assembly enacts legislation to authorize the state's participation and implementation of those emissions limitations and cap and trade, which is a tax based approach to our emissions and the existing emissions from our energy generations, and until such time, attendant with the RGGI, RGGI program, the executive branch shall be prohibited from taking actions on such. With that, I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? Not. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it.
Division.
Division having been called. Question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A2 sent forward by Representative Arp. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Willis, wish to vote on the amendment? Representative Majeed on the floor. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 61 having voted in the affirmative and 47 in the negative. The amendment is adopted. Representative Strickland, the chair is in possession of the gentleman's amendment. The chair has consulted with staff and believes the amendment to be out of order. The amendment will be returned to the gentleman. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney, rise?
To speak on the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I rise to make just a few comments. I had hesitated to say anything because it's apparent that this is in the bag, that the vote is here, the votes are here. But I just have to make one last plea to you to please think hard about what we're about to do. And I want to say up front that Duke Energy is an incredible corporate citizen in our state. They're in my backyard. And I respect them. I respect the work that they've done and what they've done for our state and will continue to do. But there's one piece in this bill that I have been hammering to all of you in both meetings of the Energy Committee, and that is the taking away of the authority that in 13 places in the bill, there are lines like the Public Utilities Commission. That authority is being stripped down. Now, some will say that, but we're giving them additional authority. But where we are taking away that authority now is paramount to where we are going forward with this bill. I had hoped that some of that would have been fixed before we reached this vote. I am concerned, and I jotted some comments down because I want to want you to understand why I have been so opposed to this part of the bill. We as a legislative body many years ago established that our utility would be a monopoly. And from that, we then established the Independent Public Utilities Commission. It's been that way for years. And the people that are appointed there are the people from the industry that know and understand what they're doing. But from that process, when we had adopted it, the public was represented through that utility. And yeah, they are represented by us as representatives. But I'll tell you, if you've read this bill, and I did, I read the PCS when I got it on the night before the committee the next day. Same with the original bill that we had in the first meeting. These are complex technical energy and utility issues. And they are truly, truly issues that I don't comprehend completely, and I don't mind admitting that. But I do get it when I read constantly throughout the bill the taking away of the authority from the Public Utilities Commission, from the staff too. I've heard from constituents, I've heard from businesses, I've heard from manufacturers, so many other people that are not supporting the bill as it is written and as stated by my colleague, Representative Harrison. We all want a good energy bill. And a lot of people talk about process. We went through this 2 years ago with a Senate bill that came over. And the process was skewed then. It was very quickly pushed through. This bill, though, is different. This bill is a comprehensive energy bill. Our governor wants to be a part of this, making it better. Both sides of the aisle, as we say, Democrats, Republicans, want to be a part of making it better. I want to be able to vote for a good, clean energy bill. I cannot, though, vote at this time from these three sections in this bill. And I'm going to just give you an example of a couple. One is under the authorizing financing of certain energy transition costs. This is in Section 2. I'm not going into all that. But it states in there on page 4, NCUC, the Public North Carolina Utilities Commission, does not have discretion to pick the best amount of securitization, i.e. the capping of the securitization at $500 million. In the past, when we've had that, we have not had a cap on that amount of what it should be. The Utilities Commission did that. Another section, rate-making modernization authorized performance-based regulation of electric public utilities. On page 34, NCUC shall not be permitted to modify utilities PBR application. And then the other one that stood out to me, the general provisions acceptable in Section 1, general provisions applicable to designated replacement resources purchased and owned by the electric public utilities pursuant to subsection. Section 1 says, NCUC must allow cost recovery for retiring coal ash units or coal units. And there are 10 others. I'm not here to debate this bill. I'm here to just say to you, please think hard. Have you read it enough that you know that you can go back to your constituents and that you can go to your businesses that are opposed to this? You can go to those ratepayers, no matter which ratepayer they are, and you can explain to them why you voted yes. I still have my concerns. I want to vote yes, but I cannot today, and I ask you to think about it. Thank you.
For our purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Brown, rise.
To debate the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I will start out by saying that House Bill 951 is the type of legislation that I would like to vote for. I would echo the sentiments of my colleagues who have spoken so far today. I think that it's our job as members of the General Assembly to think about long-term transformative changes and policies that we can enact for our state. We shouldn't just think about the problems that we're having today, but we should think about the problems that we're going to be facing 10 years down the line. And I think that at its heart, HB 951 wants to do that, but it doesn't do that in the most effective way. You know, I think about the comments I get from my constituents. I think about when I hear from them, and when we've had other controversial bills throughout this session, I usually, on controversial subjects, I hear from both sides. I hear emails saying, vote no on this, vote yes on this. For the first time, HB 951 is the only time I can remember in my very short legislative career that I've only received emails saying, vote no on this piece of legislation. And I've heard a lot from Representative Harrison, heard a lot from Representative Carney about this bill and the different issues they have with it. And one thing I'd also like to think about is one of the things we pride ourselves on as a state, and in this body we pride ourselves on, is being a friend of business, being pro-business here in North Carolina. And I think that's a great aspect of our state. It's a great aspect of my district in Mecklenburg County. We're always constantly trying to strive to bring new businesses here, think about how we can be on the cutting edge and make North Carolina friendly for our business partners. And I think that when we think about the business partners and the companies that are constantly moving here, when we think about the Apples, the Googles, the Honeywells, all of these companies that are moving to North Carolina, they always pride themselves on being environmentally friendly and thinking about clean energy, what they can do to be on the cutting edge. That's what makes them Fortune 500 companies. They're not thinking about what happened 10, 15 years ago. They're thinking 10 to 15 years out. And I think that with this legislation, if we're not thinking boldly about transformational energy change and climate, we're going to be doing ourselves a disservice in our business community to our business partners, because they're going to be looking for a state that's thinking about what we can do on the future of energy, what we can do on the future of climate. I guarantee you those are the things that they're going to be looking for when they're looking for new states to move into and to bring their business to. And I would hate for us to be handcuffed to a piece of legislation that does not think boldly, does not think transformatively, and does not contemplate the needs of our residents, our ratepayers, as well as our business partners here in North Carolina. So again, I would love to vote for this piece of legislation. I would love to have the opportunity to say that we can have a piece of seminal legislation from this biennium that we can point to years now that said we helped transform North Carolina's energy future. And I don't think this bill accomplishes that in its current form. So I hope that we can continue to work on this bill so we can achieve results that makes us all feel comfortable, that we can say this is going to be the future of our state. So I will be voting no, and I strongly encourage all of you to vote no as well. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 951 on second reading.
Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 57 haven't voted in the affirmative. 50 in the negative. House Bill 951 passed the second reading without objection.
Objection.
And having been objected to, remains on the calendar. Representative Hall, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, rules calling operations of the House Committee report, Senate Bill 146, teledentistry, RDH administer local anesthetics, favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute.
Senate Committee substitutes on the unfavorable calendar, the House Committee substitute calendar for this evening. Senate Bill 146, Clerk will read.
Senator Perry, Senate Bill 146, a bill to be entitled Teledentistry, RDH, Administer Local Anesthetics, General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, recognized to debate the bill on second reading.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, colleagues. This is a Senate bill, but it's been through the House. It was very similar when it came through here and passed the House 113-1. It was a companion bill in the Senate. They have added a few sections, but essentially this is the same bill that we passed out. I agreed with Senator Perry to run this bill through the House because I think this is actually a better bill than the one we sent over. It has the consent of the dentist, the anesthesiologist, and their society. So as far as I know, there's no opposition to this bill, and I recommend it for your approval.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question. We'll strike that. For what purpose, the lady from Johnson? Representative White Rice?
To speak to the bill.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
I just have a couple of statements, and I understand and appreciate my colleague, and I appreciate all the work that he's done on this and for the Senate's bill. But it is just a shame that there's an APRN nurse in this room. There are three other nurses, and this bill allows a dental hygienist to give anesthesia in a dental office, and APRNs cannot practice with it, and this is expanding the scope of a dental hygienist. APRNs, advanced practice nurses, have a license to practice within their scope, yet we are not being allowed to practice within our scope without having a signature from a physician that might live in Wilmington and we live in Asheville. So I'm just making a statement for the SAVE Act and to say that it's an atrocity that we are now giving dental hygienists by this bill the opportunity to give anesthesia in a dental office, but we are opposed to a nurse practitioner, a CRNA, certified registered nurse anesthetist, to give anesthesia that they are trained and licensed to do without the signature of a doctor living across the state. Thank you.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 146 on it. Second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Riddell, Representative Strickland, Rogers, Willis, Wheatley, Reeves. So clerk will lock machine record the vote. 101 having voted in the affirmative, 7 in the negative. Senate Bill 146 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 146 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed no. Ayes have it. Senate Bill 146 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate.
The House will stand at ease momentarily. Notices and announcements. The Majority Leader, Representative Bell, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we will have an immediate caucus in 1228 upon recess, actually upon adjournment. We will have an immediate caucus in 1228 upon adjournment. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise?
For an announcement, I think, but... Are we having session tomorrow?
Yes, but it's going to be really early.
Okay, well, we are having then at 10 o'clock, we will have education community college meeting at 10 o'clock in room 423.
For what purpose, right. Gentleman from Columbus, President Jones, rise.
643.
A moment of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor for a moment of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When I first arrived here at the General Assembly, I had this very, very, very young seatmate back in seat 87. Well, today, or actually tomorrow, we want to celebrate our Rules Cares birthday. So if you would, Destin Hall, happy birthday.
What purpose? The lady from Wilson. Representative Cooper Suggs, rise.
Mr. Speaker, a point of personal privilege.
Lady has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege. The House will come to order.
I just want to say to my seatmate, Vernetta Austin, happy birthday.
What purpose, gentlemen from Beaufort? Representative Kidwell, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
In light of the Republican caucus, the Freedom Caucus will move its meeting to tomorrow, time and location to be announced.
What purpose, gentlemen from Union? Representative Brody, rise.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
The House Committee on Local Government Land Development will meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock in 415. We have two bills. Thank you.
Further notices or announcements? If not, for what purpose, gentlemen from Guilford? Representative Quick, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentlemen's recognized.
I just want to acknowledge the first wedding anniversary of my daughter and son-in-law, which was this past Friday. They're also the parents of my grandson. They've got one in the books, and I wish them many, many more.
Members, for planning purposes, the chair will be candid. There are several members who have to be out of town tomorrow, and this was an extremely close vote. The chair intends that we will be coming back at 12:01 if there's still an objection to third reading. So, if there's anybody interested in withdrawing an objection to third, otherwise we'll be back in a few hours. For what purpose, gentlemen from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise.
I was just announcing caucus.
Gentleman has four.
And Democrats of caucus at 14:25. As soon as we go to recess, I think that's it. Oh yeah, adjourn. Adjourn, recess is really different if it's only 2 hours.
Anyway. It'll probably feel about the same, but it's okay. Representative Reeves, the gentleman approach. Members, we may be able to avoid an early morning here. We'll see. And the chair does just believe in being candid. Just, you know, when we talk about come back, the chair's been advised there are several members who want to vote on this bill, who were here, who've been here all day, who have flights, some family things. They needed to be gone tomorrow morning. So that was the reason. But I understand that the minority party may want to caucus. We'll have a discussion. So what I think we'll do is take about a 10-minute recess. Representative Reeves, I think I got to give the Jim.
Yes, that will.
We're just going to stand at ease for about 10 minutes, and the chair will receive a report back where we are. Order. Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans, we're going to have a mandatory caucus at 12:28 immediately upon adjournment. Please be prompt. In 12:28 immediately upon adjournment is mandatory. Please attend.
Gentleman from Duke, Representative Dixon, recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I realize that I did not cast my vote. I was present when 951 was presented. Could you please record me as voting yes?
Gentleman recorders haven't voted aye. Second reading, House Bill 951. Further notices or announcements? If not, for what purpose, the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise.
I want to cancel the meeting at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for the education community colleges. Just in case, because I don't know what's going on. Bye-bye.
We might still be in session. You never know. For what purpose, Jim, from Union, Representative Brody Rice?
To announce the cancellation of local government land planning for tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
And members, when we do come back at 12:01, and I certainly understand why the minority caucus wants to keep the objection on third laws, so that's under the rules. So chair certainly takes no objection to that whatsoever. That's the way the rules are, and that's the way we'll do it. Just would point out that we will come back at 12:01. The chair would hope that we may have a very relatively short debate, but however long folks want to debate, we'll be here, but have a vote not long after that. And there would not, the chair does not intend that we would come back for any other votes after that, after that 12:01 session. So there will be nothing else tomorrow, and of course nothing else for the remainder of the week. So with that, any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, July 15th at 12:01 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Cleveland, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, July 15th at 12 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House stands adjourned.